The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
Well, it's a joy to be with you once again, enjoying this Lord's Day together. I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 1. We're going to be looking at Psalm 1, and we're going to see the blessed man today. Blessed man. So let's look at Psalm 1 and let us give attention to the reading of God's word, starting in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. This is God's holy and inspired word made at his blessing to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful we can come once again before you this Lord's Day to be fed by your word. We pray that you would impress to us Christ, that you would help us to see the way of the blessed man, and that you'd help us to fix our eyes on the true way of blessing. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we all want to be happy. We all want to be blessed. No one woke up this morning thinking, you know what, I want to pursue a cursed life. No, we all pursue blessing. We want to be blessed. Well, today in our text, the psalmist is going to instruct us and show us that there is only one way to true blessing. Though we live in a world that promises many different ways, there is only one true way. And we will see that it comes by the way of the blessed man. Now, the Psalm 1 is not the first psalm because it was the first psalm ever written. It is actually here because many commentators have mentioned it stands as the doorway to the book of the Psalms. It helps calibrate our minds and our attitudes for how we should approach the rest of the book. Psalm 1 reminds us there are only two ways of life. There are two roads, two gates, two paths, the rocky soil or the sandy soil. And so as we go through this psalm, think of what way am I on and why? But I also want us to ask ourselves, is the blessed man here blessed because of something we do? While this is a popular approach to the Psalms, the better question we should be asking is, who is this blessed man? So we're going to see this in three ways. First, we're going to see the way of the blessed. Second, we're going to see the way of the wicked. And then third, the true blessed man. So let's look at first the way of the blessed. Look at verse 1. It says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. This word here for blessed is actually in the plural. So it's the blessedness of blessedness we can see it as. Spurgeon calls it this way. Here we see the multiplicity of blessings. So this is a promise for this blessed man that he is surely blessed. There are many blessings for this man. But notice this man. The blessedness comes from God alone. We know in James 1, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of light. So true blessing ultimately comes to us from God alone. He goes, if you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, if you want to have the many blessings, pay attention. So he draws us in with what we all want right away. So we pay attention. Notice he says, blessed is the man. So this isn't just someone's opinion. He's not saying, hey, this is someone who I suggest is a blessed man in my sight. No, this is a fact in God's sight. Blessed is the man. And notice we see, starting off by contrast, what the blessed man is. First, what the blessed man does not do. Second, what the blessed man does. Look, notice the text. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So you want to be blessed? You want to have blessing? The blessed man is one who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Well, we should ask ourselves, what's the counsel of the wicked? Counsel of the wicked is that which is opposed to God's word. That's what hates God's word. That what has the worldview of the ungodly, the presuppositions of this world. The counsel of the wicked is that which is man-centered, not God-centered. And the counsel of the wicked is those that have a message that promotes maybe live it up, Now is all you got. Your best life now. Don't cherish things like, say, the gathering of the church or being with God's people or hearing the word. Instead, pursue your own pleasure. Pursue entertainment. It's all about me, myself, and I. The world wants you to see that blessing comes from all different sources other than the word of God. The world says that if you want to be blessed, you need to have a big house. You need to have a big car. You need to have the ideal job, the perfect kids, the perfect wife, the perfect family. We're bombarded by all sorts of different messages from the counsel of the wicked. It can come by way of different channels, TV, newspapers, Facebook, internet, movies, video games. There's so much. We're bombarded with the counsel of the wicked. And the Bible says the blessed man is one who is not constantly walking in the counsel of the wicked. James 4:4 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So he goes, you don't try to identify with one side while actually being part of another. Don't try to pretend you're something other than what you're not. Just to give you an illustration of this. For those who know Brian, he's a diehard Nebraska fan. And if you wanted to see where his true heart lies, you wouldn't give him a rival jersey. Let's say the Hawkeyes. Maybe the Hawkeyes or the Sooners. You wouldn't give him a Sooner jersey, and he's not going to wear it. Why? Because he doesn't identify with that side. He won't identify with that side. And the blessed man, in a similar way, doesn't identify with the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't walk in those ways. Instead, he wants to honor the word. He wants to honor the Lord. But notice what else the blessed man does not do. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. The idea here for way is the pattern of life. So his pattern of life is not one who is participating, giving approval with the sins of others. Notice the gradual progression that we see here. First you're walking, then you're standing, then you're sitting. So it starts first slowly. There's no progression that just leaves off a cliff. It's not sudden. It's kind of like a slow digression. There's no one who's fell instantaneously. It all starts somewhere. Maybe it starts with a message. You're hearing something. Then you're actually standing and participating. And the next thing you know, you're giving approval to those very sinful things because you've opened up your mind to it. And so you cannot walk in the counsel of the wicked. You cannot stand with them and expect that it won't affect you. If you live like the wicked, if you're influenced by the wicked, it will affect your walk. So notice that progression. It never happened all at once. One person says, the way of the wicked or a fall is not a one-time action or is it sudden, but it's a gradual decline to the pit. They say whenever you want to, you know, cook a frog or something, you don't just boil the water and put it in. It'll feel it and it'll jump right out. But if you did it very slowly, he would adapt until he finally is boiled to death. And in the same way, when you go to when you're exposed to the way of the wicked, it's a slow decline if you continually expose yourself to that. The blessed man is not someone who participates in the sins of the world. You cannot walk in the world's counsel, adopt the world's advice, and not have it affect your life. You know, this is becoming even more relevant in our time. As the counsel of the wicked, we continually see a continual decay of morality all around us. What was once looked upon as evil, just maybe 5-10 years ago, is now promoted as good. You think of how our culture has been celebrating LGBTQ agendas, critical race theory, and all these things. And then they expect us to give a hearty approval to these things. And if we don't, we're considered bigots and racists and are then pursued to be shut up. While there is an attraction that we want to be accepted, we cannot buy into the counsel of the wicked and stand with that and expect we're not going to compromise God's word. So the blessed man, notice this isn't what he does. But notice what his delight is in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So there's a big contrast here. So here's what he doesn't do. Now here's what He does. Notice, his delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord we can understand to be the word of God. At this time, it was the Torah. It was the law. It was what was revealed to them at this time. We have the fullness of revelation. We have the full word of God. We have the Bible. And so we can say with the psalmist, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The whole counsel of God we delight in. Blessed is the man who delights in Scripture, who delights to read it, who takes joy in it. He loves it so much that he, notice, meditates day and night. The psalmist in Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise a simple. The precepts of the Lord is right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The blessed man loves the word of God. He loves to read the word and expose himself to the word. Jeremiah 15, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight to my heart. Does that describe you? Are you one who hears the preached word, who reads the word, and you just delight with joy? Is something that delights, or do you sit under it and you feel that it's a burden? The blessed person delights, but it's not so with the wicked. The wicked rather delights in sin, rather delights in anything, but that is the word of God. But notice what else. He delights in it so much that on his law he meditates day and night. To say day and night is to say all the time. He's continually meditating on the word. He's constantly thinking about it. He's reading it. He's memorizing it. He's letting it inform his conscience. And as he goes through different things in life, he's remembering, oh yeah, the word of God said this. I have hidden in your word in my heart so I may not sin against you. And this is what the blessed man does. He meditates on it. He reflects on it. Psalm 119, I will meditate on your precepts and fix your eyes on your ways. Thomas Watson said this, the one who meditates must do so with his intellect and affections. It is a holy exercise of the mind, bringing the truth of God to the remembrance and to seriously apply them to ourselves. So meditating, you know, the world talks about meditating kind of like, oh, just empty your mind and think about nothing. And that's not what the psalmist is talking about here. He's talking about meditating it and having your mind filled with Scripture. So what do you delight on? What do you meditate on? What are you thinking about right now? Is it what you'll have for dinner? Or actually what the Word of God says and how it's going to point you to Christ? Is the word of God a burden, or is it a delight like the psalmist is picturing here? If it's a delight, notice what the blessed man does, how he's like. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. So the psalmist gives a beautiful picture here of what this blessed man is like, and he likens him to a tree. And a tree is something that is stable. It is strong. It's not going anywhere. But notice, this tree didn't plant himself. Notice, he's planted. This is something that is done by God. This tree is planted, notice, by streams of water. So not just one river. There's various streams. It's this plurality. And it likens these streams of water, this life-giving water, to that of the Word of God. So the blessed man who's meditating on the law of God, who's meditating on the words, is like that tree that's standing there, firm, planted, and its roots go down, and it's going into all these streams for sustenance. So imagine you have this tree. It's a plentiful area, and well, all around it is like a desert. This tree is the ideal situation. If you're a tree, this is where you want to be. I moved from California to Washington, and it's a night and day difference between the trees there. You have the trees in the desert that are wilting because there's no water source. Where you go up to the Pacific Northwest, and you have just trees that are green everywhere because there's an abundance of water. So you want to be next to the water source. And the psalmist goes, this is a picture of the blessed man who loves the word of God. He's like that tree that has constant water sources that never end. He sees Scripture as a delight. He sees it as something breathed out by God, and he takes pleasure in it. This is a very different picture from the person who's watered once a week on Sunday. So what is your diet of the Word of God look like? Notice also, this tree yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. You've heard the saying, what you eat will affect you. Well, think about it this way. If you eat a lot of junk, if you eat a lot of sodas or whatever, pizza, you're going to feel it, and you might show it. You'll feel groggy, maybe overweight. If you have someone who eats garlic, you can taste it on their breath. You can smell it on their breath. And in a similar way, what he's saying is the psalmist's diet that he has on the Word of God will show by how he lives. It shows in a righteous life. It shows in how he treats others. And so this tree is planted, and notice it bears fruit in its season. We all know the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So God is the one who produces this fruit. God is the one who planted it and put this tree in this position to prosper. And if you think about it, who does the fruit benefit when a tree produces fruit? Does it benefit the tree? Well, usually fruit is for others. And in this case, the blessed man is one who is blessed through the Word of God, produces fruit in his life, and blesses others through it, and gives God the glory for who planted it. Notice what else. And its leaf does not wither. This means it doesn't die. It doesn't fade. It's not going to rot. It's not going to decay. And all that he does, he prospers. Now, this isn't saying, hey, if you just read your Bible more, you're going to have a healthy life. You're going to be rich. You'll never get sick. That's the prosperity gospel. That's not what this is saying. The idea is, if the blessed man delights in the law of God, he will prosper in his pursuit of holiness and being conformed more and more to the image of Christ. It's what we studied at the camp. You know, how are we sanctified? It's the work of God, but we also are active in it. So this is the picture of the blessed man. But now he draws a sharp contrast to the way of the wicked man. Notice, but the way of the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. So everything he says about this blessed man is completely opposite of this wicked man. You have this tree that's rooted, that's grounded, that's solid, where the winds of temptation can come, and it's not going anywhere, where the droughts of trials might come, and its roots go into the streams, and it's always going to stay green and alive. Where the wicked are like chaff. Well, what's chaff? Chaff is this thing where they, back in the process of winnowing wheat, they would have chaff. And so there was around the kernel of the wheat grain, you would have what's called chaff. And so what they would do is they would have oxen that would tread across the winnowing floor, leaving behind the chaff. So they would then get a pitchfork and lift it up in the air. And what would happen is the wind would come, the grains of wheat would fall down, but the chaff would then float away. And so at the end, after you've lifted it up all the way with a pitchfork, all you have left is the wheat. And the psalmist is saying that is what the wicked is like. It's like those chaff grains that just float away. For a modern example, we probably haven't all dealt with wheat, but a modern example, think of the red skin on the outside of a peanut. You break it apart, you look at it, and it's just like flimsy and just blows away with the slightest breeze. And that's what he's saying. So is like the wicked here. There's no structure, substance, weight to this. Hosea 13:3 says, therefore they shall be like the morning mist, like the dew that goes away early, like the chaff that swirls from the threshing floor, or like smoke from a window. So the slightest breeze of temptation, they're gone. They give in. They're not like the tree that's rooted, that's grounded. So which one is most comparable to you? Are you like the tree that's rooted, grounded, that has by the streams, that its roots go down deep? The winds come, but it's standing firm. Or you like this chaff. Slightest temptation comes. The advice of the world comes. And the next thing you know, you're participating. You're giving in. Notice the result, verse 5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So therefore, here's the conclusion about these two sides. You have two ways that have been described, the wicked and the blessed. The blessed delights in the word of God. He meditates day and night. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or participates in the sinful things that they do. And they're like the trees that grow deep, that have the streams. But the wicked are the ones that reject God's word. And the slightest breeze of temptation comes and they're gone. Both will experience a future day of judgment. The blessed man will be welcomed into heaven, where the wicked will not be able to stand. We live in a day where right now it looks like the wicked are prospering. It looks like they are standing firm. But there will be a day when they will not be able to stand. There are some who think, you know, I can stand in the judgment time just because, you know, I'm a good person. Or just because I'm not as bad as this other person. Or just because I go to church or sing songs. But in the last day, there will be a time where the hearts will truly be revealed and the wicked will not be able to stand in the congregation of the righteous. Congregation of the righteous is those who are right, who have been declared righteous in the sight of the Lord. That brings us to the third and final point, the way of the blessed. Notice verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord knows those who are truly his. This idea for knowing doesn't just mean he knows facts. It means an intimate knowledge. There will be some who think they are standing, who will one day hear the words in Matthew 7, then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So we want to be known by God. We want to have a relationship with him, an intimate relationship. And this is how he treats those who are blessed, those who are righteous in his sight. But the way of the wicked will perish. Notice there's only two ways. There's not a third way. There's not a middle ground. It's either the blessed or the wicked. You're either with God or you're against him. In the end, the wicked will not stand. So I ask you, which way are you on? Are you on the blessed way? Are you like that tree? Are you like the one who meditates on the word of God? Or are you like the wicked? Are you like those who maybe appear righteous on the outside, but inwardly you're like dead man's bones? Well, how you love the word of God is kind of the thermometer of that. So which one are you? Now, if we ended the sermon here, this would be an incomplete sermon. If we ended this sermon here, this would maybe be acceptable in a Jewish synagogue, but not a Christian sermon at all. What we need to see is if you're reading this psalm, you should feel, you know what? I do not do this perfectly. I fall short of what is this blessed man. There are times when I might delight in God's word, but there's also times when I might fall into sin and I might be tempted to go the way of the wicked. And if you're honest with yourself, you realize that you do fall short. And there should be reason to worry. So should we really see ourselves in this blessed man? If you're honest and you've approached this psalm and measured yourself up to it, you realize you fall short. That you cannot do what it says. Notice, day and night, who's ever meditated on the word of God day and night perfectly? Without ceasing. The standard here is perfection. Not just try your best, forget the rest. In light of God's law, he tells us we are to be holy for he's holy, be perfect for he is perfect. We fall short, the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23, none's righteous, no, not one. So we're all born wicked. We have a heart that's geared towards the way of the wicked. So how then can we be this blessed? God doesn't accept people based on a curve, but demands absolute perfection. What we need is we need a true blessed man to stand in our place. Notice the blessed man again. The blessed is the man. This is singular. There's a specific man in view here. Luke 24, Jesus says, all the law, the Psalms, and the prophets are about me. So in light of this, we need to even see this psalm in light of Christ. He is truly the righteous man. He is the true blessed man this psalm is talking about. Christ perfectly fulfilled this psalm. And if you think about it, Christ is one who's never walked in the counsel of the wicked. He never stood participating in the way of sinners. He never sat down in the seat of scoffers. He was never tempted to sin. He never gave in to sin. He never fell. He was perfect. Instead, it's Christ who perfectly meditated on the law day and night. Jesus is that perfect, righteous man. He is the tree that has been firmly planted where his roots grow deep. He meditated, memorized the word of God. And when the devil tempted him in the wilderness, what did he do? He quoted scripture that he's meditated on, that indwelt in him, that he memorized to overcome it. Not only that, Christ took upon himself the punishment of the wicked. He took upon himself the punishment of lawbreakers. And in so doing, he was treated as the cursed person in this psalm. Beloved, we will not merit blessedness just because we read our Bibles more. We shouldn't read this psalm and say, blessed is the man if he walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or blessed is the man if he delights in his law. That's not how we should read it. We should see this, blessed is the man. Christ is that man. Well, how then can we be blessed? Well, we need another's righteousness. How can we see ourselves in this psalm? Flip over to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 12. You know, this is called a kingly psalm here. And many people link these two psalms together because you have the first psalm that starts off with blessed, and notice how it ends. Blessed. Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. You want to see yourself in the way of the blessed here? It's not by just reading your Bible more. It's not by doing better, trying harder, avoiding the way of the wicked. It's by being found and taking refuge in the blessed one, Jesus Christ. And then out of love and thankfulness, then out of your desire, you want to do what this psalm says. You want to delight in his word. You want to avoid the sinful tendencies of this world. Not because you're earning blessing from it, but because you are taking refuge in the blessed one. And this is only something Christ can do. He gives us a new nature to want to do what this psalm says. He gives us his Holy Spirit, which motivates our desires. By nature, we are wicked. We don't delight in God's word. We're hostile to it, in fact. But when we're united to Christ, when we seek refuge in him, we're given the new nature. We're given his Holy Spirit, and we can now delight in the things that he delights in. So when the winds of temptation come, we're not shaken. We can stand firm because it's not based on our performance. It's based on the performance of Christ. It's based on how he perfectly obeyed the law, how he perfectly fulfills this psalm. And so when we do fall short, we look to Christ. We stand in him. We take refuge in him because he fulfilled the righteousness of the psalm, and he took the punishment of our punishment, the wicked, upon himself. He paid it in full, and he was raised from the dead. So I ask you again, now, are you in the blessed or in the wicked? Which way are you on? What do you delight in? Do you delight in the word of God, or is it something you find boring? What are the things that maybe are preventing you in this life from cherishing and reading God's word? You know, we think about how much we're bombarded by the world's message, and if we're only being fed once a week on Sunday, you can see how it outweighs itself. It ought not to be. We ought to delight in God's word because we are part of this blessed man. And this is what we do out of love and thankfulness for what he has done for us. So kiss the Son, lest he be angry, or you perish in his way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is in fact this true blessed man. We thank you that he is the righteous, that he perfectly obeyed your law, that he never gave in to sin, but he perfectly delighted in your word. He memorized it. When temptation came in the wilderness, He overcame it through the word of God. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on him. Help us then out of love and thankfulness to delight in the word of God, to want to do what it says, to want to memorize it, because that's what Christ has done for us. We thank you that he took the punishment upon himself and bore the brunt of God's wrath, as we heard this morning. He did so as our perfect, sinless representative. Lord, help us then to proclaim the good message of the gospel to a lost and dying world, to a wicked world. Help us, Lord, to not be tempted by the way of the wicked, but to stand firm, seek refuge in the blessed man, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his holy name.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.